For our scripture reading, will you turn to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 11, and we'll read beginning with verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying, the Lord Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise him and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The problem with prayer. The main problem is doing it. We all know that. The scripture says, ye have not because ye ask not. The Lord here says, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. An acrostic. A-S-K. Ask. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, believing, ye will receive. We sometimes put a great emphasis on the whosoevers of Scripture. It's just as important to put an emphasis on the whatsoevers of Scripture. In our Lord's room, speech in the upper room to his disciples, when he went out from that room where they had celebrated the institution of the Lord's Supper, it starts by saying, Jesus, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. A lot of our hymns say, and I'm not saying it's not true, that Jesus loves the sinner. But the Bible never says that. Jesus, having loved his own, which were in the world. And 5 times over in the Gospel of John, John does not refer to himself by name. He refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You never read except one time concerning that young man, that rich man. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. When the love of God is mentioned for the sinner, it is in relation to God's love, the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we love those whosoever believes in the Son hath everlasting life. But the whatsoever, and in our Lord's conversation to his disciples in that upper room, seven times over, he uses that word ask. Whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name. Seven times over uses that word ask. Our New Testament starts with four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We all know that. And we read of the early disciples in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And of all the thoughts that were odd, that prayers were put on the end. First of all, there's the apostles' doctrine. We have the Lord Jesus presented in the Gospel of Matthew as the King. And we have the King speaking at the close of that Gospel. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Mark's Gospel, we have him presented as the perfect servant. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it says, and they went forth, the Lord working with them. He still works in fellowship with his own as they seek to serve him. It's this gospel that tells us that on the resurrection morning, he walk with those two discouraged disciples. We trusted in him and he was to have redeemed Israel. Why are you so upset? The Lord said in effect to them. Haven't you heard? And they bore out their mournful story. We trusted. They put their faith in the past then that it would be he which should have redeemed Israel. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And beginning at Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning themselves. By and by, they came to the place where they were going to stop. And I think this is a lovely touch in the Word of God. He made as though he would have gone further. Let's pretend. He made as though he would have gone further. And they said, abide with us, Lord, even time. And then to their astonishment, the one that they had invited as a guest, he became the host, and he took a loaf of bread, and he broke it. And they said afterwards, he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. He still does it today. He makes himself known in the breaking of bread. And John reveals him as the one who's able to do something for us, as God manifests his flesh. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life through his name. He presents seven miracles, nine miracles they're called, in John's Gospel to prove who he was. There he reveals himself in his power, as God manifest in flesh. And who do we direct our prayers to? We come in Jesus' name, but Jesus is God. The one we call God is Jesus. The scripture says, without controversy, great is the mystery of God, and God was manifest in the flesh. And the Lord Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he'll do it. There's no limit. And he just simply says, ask. Lord, teach us to pray. You've often heard it Satan's spirit said that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Don't you believe that for a minute?
Satan gets busy. When you get to pray,
all kinds of thoughts, things that you need to do will come into your mind. Some of the wickedest moments that we've spent in our life has been at the Lord's table. Satan trembles when he sees. No, he gets busy when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees, and all kinds of interruptions will come into play. Lord, teach us to pray. And you know the best way to teach anybody anything? The disciples discovered that. It says, as he was praying. Last year, year before last, it was up at the Greenwood Hills Bible Conference, and there was a brother there, some of you may know him, by the name of Jack Loazzo. I'd heard of him and heard of his work. He's in his 80s now. He's a twin of Carl Johnson's wife. Boy and a girl. Not identical twins, obviously, but twins, just twins. And he was telling us of the work that they do. They, for instance, that Oklahoma City bombing that they killed quite a number of people. Well, he had a contract from the government, his company did, to bring it down. It took them about 5,000 or 6,000 pounds of explosives to blow it up, and it took him less than 100 pounds to bring it down. That's what he told us. But that isn't what I started to tell you. What he said, though, was this. He said, my dad, some of you may have known him, Alfred Loazzo, always used to say, there are three things necessary for a parent in the home and from an elder in the assembly. Three things that are absolutely essential. Said, first of all, there's example. And then there's example. And then there's example. Don't tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Now, we're not saved by the example of the Lord Jesus. All that his example does for us is to condemn us. But we're blessed by his example. Peter says he's left us an example that we should follow his steps. Who can read the story of the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane and his garden and says he kneeled down and prayed? And if he needs to pray, you need to pray and I need to pray. He kneeled down and prayed, and he prayed three times, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. We have the example of the Lord's in prayer. The disciples said they had the example of John. John taught his disciples to pray. He didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. The Lord isn't so much concerned with the how. He's concerned with the who. We have one to pray to. He's able to do for us and through us and exceeding abundantly of all we can ask or thing. And the Lord gave a pattern prayer in answer to their question. He told this man, friend, lend us three loaves. Lend me three loaves. He's very specific. He knew exactly what he wanted. How good it is when we go into the presence of the Lord and pray. It says in James, ye have not because ye ask. And I'm sure that all of us, if we're honest before God, we have to confess that we do not pray as we ought. The antidote of prayer is making sure that we keep short accounts with God. The Bible says in Psalm 66. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Daniel, that holy man of God, he didn't exclude himself. He prayed with the people, not as though he was above them, but in fellowship with them. It's a good thing to be honest before God and to confess our faults and failings. We read in James chapter 5 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That teaches us that who is praying is important to God. God hears the sinner's prayer, yes. He will receive any and everyone who make application to Him, to His Son. The vilest offender truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. But there are conditions. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It was a prayer of faith that he prayed, and that's the prayer that God honored. And faith is not some mysterious thing. I have faith for this and I have faith for that. Faith is something that is resting on what God's Word says. The Scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we take our stand on what God says, God answers the prayer in accordance with His Word. Because God honors His Word. And we should honor His Word by praying. In faith. God had, as we had heard it before, God had told the children of Israel, if they were not faithful to Him, He was going to turn off the rain. And they were going to have a drought. And so Elijah prayed, Lord, do as You said. And it didn't rain for over 3 years. And I don't know if they knew all about what he had prayed. I don't think he had been on a popularity list if that was the case. Turn off the rain. Because what Elijah wanted was what God wanted. He wanted to bring the people to their knees in order that they would return to God. Sometimes we pray for people to get well. But maybe what we ought to pray is, Lord, continue Thy hand upon them until they repent and turn in faith to Thee. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says in James that Elijah prayed earnestly. And I understand that could be just as well translated, Elijah prayed. You know, sometimes people don't pray when they pray. I remember Brother Gibbs saying he talked to one man who had prayed for quite a long time. He said, after the meeting, he said, Brother, he said, I enjoyed very much that word of ministry you brought this morning. Oh, he said, I didn't bring a word of ministry. He said, I was just praying. He said, well, I took notes of it. He said, it was tremendous. Elijah prayed. We read about two men who had run up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee, he had a Thanksgiving meeting. He was thanking God for me. I thank to God that I'm not as other men are. I'm not extort, I'm not unjust, an adulterer, or even as this public. This guy over here, I'm not like him. I fast twice in a week, if it were raised for me. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the interesting thing was, he didn't ask the Lord for anything. All he told the Lord was what a wonderful fellow he was. And he went away with nothing. He didn't ask for anything, so he got nothing. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find. But that publican, whom he despised, what they said of the Lord Jesus, He's a friend of publicans and sinners. That's the type of people he's interested in. That publican, he was so ashamed of his life. He didn't even dare to lift up his eyes to heaven. He was so ashamed of his life, his conduct. Oh God, he prayed. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what it says. He prayed as though he was the only sinner in the world. And God says, I heard that man. Lord Jesus, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Elijah praying praise. We need to ask ourselves oftentimes is, when we're praying, God, do we really pray? The Lord Jesus kneeled down and prayed. We read that the Apostle Paul kneeled on the shore and prayed. And when I was a boy, growing up, just a young fella, in the meeting that I went to, this is, you'll say how old-fashioned this was, when we had our prayer meeting, everybody, men and women, and boys and girls, we got down on our knees. In the prayer meeting, I'm not talking about in the meeting at home, but in the assembly, we got down and prayed. In fact, we had one fellow in the assembly that I was in, and he prayed for at least 20 minutes. And oftentimes, when the prayer meeting was over, I was still on my knees, falling asleep. You know, it's not how long we pray. The Lord is looking for sincerity. This is a prayer from the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. It says that they prayed, you know, in the Lord's day. They wanted to be seen of men. Very eloquent prayers. But just the simplest expression of devotion and dependence on Him. That means something to God. There are two things I think that are essential for prayer. One is food, and the other is exercise. If we're going to pray according to the will of God, we have to spend time with the Word of God. And when you read the 119th Psalm, it's just a Psalm, 176 verses. It's an acrostic Psalm. 8 verses devoted to each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I know that much. And you'll be impressed as you look through that psalm how often not only prayer, but praise will come out. And that psalm is just devoted to the Word of God. Open thou mine eyes. That's one of the verses. That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And when God shows us some truth in His Word, just to lay hold on it by faith and claim it for ourselves, that's a very wonderful thing indeed. It's not enough to read the Word of God and meditate on it. We have to exercise what we have read in prayer to God and seek by His grace to carry it out in our life. Praying, he prayed. One of the things that's important in connection with prayer, and that is that we're walking in fellowship with the Lord. I don't know about you, but if I had a choice of 3 words to put on my tombstone, I would put exactly what God says about Enoch. And Enoch means tuition. You know, because the man that, like Enoch, walks with God, God will teach him something. He's in class as he walks with God. Enoch walked with God. Twice over it says that in the Old Testament. He walked with God. He walked with God. And the New Testament commentary on that is found in Hebrews where it says, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey.
walking in fellowship with God.
It does not say that God walked with Enoch. That was true. But it does not say that. It says Enoch walked with God. God was deciding where they were going. God was deciding how fast they were going. He walked with God. You know, we have the same privilege today to walk in fellowship with God. You know, walking is a slow business. Sometimes we're too much in a hurry in this world. We need to take time, as the hymn says, to be holy. Speak oft with our Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness, shall be. Wonderful thing to walk in agreement with God. Elijah prayed earnestly. You don't even have to pray out loud to pray. Think of Anna, Samuel's mother. Just her lips were moving. You know, sometimes I visit people and they're not able to talk anymore. And it's an operation. But you know, God reads the heart, and I often tell them that. You can speak to the Lord from your heart, and he hears and everything. He listens to us. And the wonderful thing is that God values our prayers. He keeps them. We were hearing today, he doesn't throw them in the ash can. When you're through with this life and that's the end of it, George Mueller prayed for 52 years for one man, among others. And he never saw that man saved in his life. But he prayed. And the day of his funeral, that man got saved. 52 years, and it seemed like it was just wasted. When we turn to Revelation chapter 5, we read that God has a place where he keeps our prayers and praises. It says of those 24 elders, every one of them had harps. You know what harps are used for praising. And everyone golden vials. Golden vials, which are full of odors. And it says the odors are the prayers of the saints. I never saw my dad's mother. She was dead long before I was born. But I know this. My dad read me a letter. It was written in Dutch. When he came to this country, he and his brother Lewis. Lewis was 19, he was 17. Neither of them saved. But his mother had written a letter which she saw when he went over on a trip to Holland, in which his mother wrote one of his sisters-in-law, and she said, five of my boys are not saved, but I've claimed every one to God, and every one of them. Long after that mother's voice was still, God answered the prayer. And you know, you pray for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You may never live to see them saved. But God doesn't throw your prayers in the ash can. They're so valuable to him, he keeps them in golden vials, the vials themselves, the containers. They're so important to him. I'm not saved because my father was saved. I'm not saved because my mother was saved. But I am saved because my mother was saved. And I am saved because my father was saved. And what we need to do is keep on praying. That's a great thing. Concern. We have to pray in confidence. What a basis for confidence the Word of God gives us. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We can pray in that confidence. They wait upon the Lord. They'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. And they'll walk and not faint. God has pledged himself to honor his word. And as we take our stand upon that word, God will bless. You know, it's a great thing to continue. That was the one thing that so marked the early church. They continued. That's that. John says in his epistle, they were not of us. If they'd been of us, he said, they no doubt would have continued with us. That's the mark of reality, continuance. You know, one of the things that's nice about coming to these conferences, I see men that came to these conferences 30 years ago and came before, some of them come before I ever came to any of these. And they're still coming. And it's a wonderful thing to see God continuing to work in the lives of his people. They continue. The Lord Jesus says, ye are my disciples, if you continue. We're marked out as those that belong to him by our continuance. Continue in prayer, we read, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We're not to forget to give thanks. Sometimes it seems like the years go by and the months go by and there's no answer. It just seems like heaven is like brass. And sometimes we just need to wait for God's answer. That's what the psalmist said he did. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto thee and heard my cry. So often in our lives as Christians, we just like feel like giving up. What's the use? What profit is there in this? And the Lord says, keep on, keeping on. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You know, they were talking this afternoon about that incident recorded in Acts chapter 12. You remember the story how that Peter was cast into prison as Herod saw that pleased them to kill James, of course, and now we'll take Peter. He's number one on the hit parade. We'll get rid of him the same way. And Peter's expecting the guards to come in the next morning to take him out to be executed. But he's sleeping. Well, why should he sleep? He knew he was going to heaven. The Lord had told him that. You remember in John chapter 21, the Lord told him, says, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go, but now you're old, and now when you get older, now thou shalt gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. He says, well, this is it, our Lord. He's going to be executed. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And he went to sleep. And he sleeps this night. You know, the people that weren't sleeping were the Christians. They were praying. All night long they were praying. And I don't know, because I wasn't there, but I rather think they did not pray once. Lord, you know, we'd just like you to get Peter out of prison some way. I don't think they prayed that at all. The Bible doesn't suggest that. You know what I think they prayed? I think they prayed something like this. Lord, you know Peter, we love him. And he loves you. And Lord, it'd be wonderful if you just take him to home to heaven quickly. You know, just that blow of the knife on his neck and that'd be it. I think they were praying like that. It doesn't say anywhere or even suggest that they prayed that the Lord would get him out of prison. When people get into difficulties, we pray for the Lord to get them out of the difficulty. I don't believe they prayed like that. And I don't believe Peter prayed like that either. And then he gets woken up by this angel. Angel came and waked him up. And you know, all of the bands fell off and the chains fell off. And these fellows was chained next to these two fellows, one on each side. They were sleeping so solidly they didn't even know anything was going on, and the angel takes them out. And then it says they took them out of the prison, and then they came to the iron gate that leads to the city. I don't know if any of you have had any of the books of F.W. Borum, but he's got a very interesting commentary on that particular expression, the angel at the gate. He said the angel never left him, didn't leave him right out there. Oh, you got out of prison, Peter, goodbye, it's been good to know you, but he took him right to that iron gate. And that iron gate, it says, open of itself. You know, we have things like that, you know, in our grocery stores today. You go in and you step on this thing and all of a sudden the doors blow open. But who ever heard of open gates in a prison? That's a new wrinkle. But this one, it says, swung up of its own accord. Mr. Borum says something like this. He said, you know, I was meditating on that passage, the angel at the iron gate. And shortly after that, I was taken to one of the clothing factories in New Zealand. And I watched in this great big building all these yards and yards and yards of clothing as it came out of the looms of these mills. Man, oh man, oh man, this is something. It just seemed like it was just happening of its own accord. And one day, he said, when I was there, he said, one of the men said to me, would you like to see the powerhouse? And he said, they took me over to a separate building. And here were these huge machineries working full blast. He said, it only seemed like it opened of its own accord. Just like it seemed that all that machinery in the factory was working without the powerhouse. But said, Peter, he comes and he knocks at the door, you know. They're still in praying. They've been praying all night. They prayed without ceasing. Prayer was made without ceasing in the church for God, under God for him. It doesn't say for him to get out of prison, but they were praying for him. They didn't stop praying. They kept on praying. You know, it's interesting that the word pray without ceasing, it has the idea that you're not praying every second, but have you ever heard a person having an incessant cough? Well, that's the word that is used when you're not coughing every second, but you're keeping coughing. And we should keep praying like that. Keep at it incessantly. Never give up. And Peter came to that gate. He found out one thing. It's a lot more difficult, oftentimes, to get into an assembly of Christians than it is to get out of jail. He got out of jail without any difficulty, but getting into an assembly of Christians, sometimes they put up a lot of barriers before you can get in there. So Peter just kept knocking. He kept knocking, and they let him in, and he discovered that they'd been praying all night. And then Peter discovered where all the power was coming from. He came to the powerhouse. You know, because God is pleased to work through the prayers of his people. It says, ye also helping together by prayer. How can we help in the work of God? Ye also helping together by prayer. Men ought always, the Lord Jesus said, to pray and not to faint. I really believe with all of my heart that one of the greatest problems that God's people, that God's servants have, is discouragement. It's so easy to get discouraged. When everything around seems to be going wrong, David was in a situation once in the Old Testament, you remember? While he was away, the Amalekites had come in and captured the wives of everybody and taken off with them, and the men wanted to stone him. And the scripture makes this interesting comment. But David, encouraged himself in the Lord is God. Be content. Whatever God's answer is, to be content. One of the great things that troubled God all during the lives of the Israelites as they journeyed through the wilderness was that they complained, they complained, and they complained. And the scripture says we're to serve the Lord with gladness, counting it a privilege to be of service to Him, not to grumble and complain. The Apostle Paul says, I have learned, didn't know it intuitively, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter if we don't have things, if we have him, we have all that we really need as we journey through life. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Don't forget to pray. When you pray, don't forget to praise. A little boy was visiting in a home on one occasion. The lady said to him, would you like some more potatoes? He said, no. His mother said, no what? He said, no potatoes. And so often, you know, we take for granted the things that we have in life. Problems with prayer, we're not doing it as we ought. Continue in prayer. Not only begin, but continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And the scripture says, the only reason that you don't have is because ye ask not. Or it says, ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Is what I'm asking for something in conformity to the mind and will of God? And if it is, we can say, we know if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us, and we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. What a lovely couple prayer and praise are. They go together. How could two walk together except they be agreed? God and men can't walk together unless they be agreed. And prayer and praise, they just go together. We pray to God and we give thanks to Him for the answer to our prayer. I love that verse in Ephesians 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with thanksgiving. And we know that we're in the mind and will of God if we're a thankful people. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We often sing that hymn, when all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view I've lost in wonder, love, and praise. 10,000 precious gifts my daily thanks employ, nor is the least a thankful heart that tastes God's gift with joy. In 1967, I never will forget it, I was up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they have a Thanksgiving Day conference. And at this conference, one of the sessions runs an hour and a half long. It's conducted exactly the way we conduct our breaking of bread service. Except they didn't bring bread. You could get up and give out a little word. They try and hold it to about 10 minutes. Or you could pray. Or you could give out a hymn. And I remember the late Will Tell. He stood to his feet and he said this. In our hymn book, he said, there are two hymns, both of them translations of an old German hymn. And he said, I ran across this translation, and I asked Brother Gibbs if he had set it to music, which he did. He said, there's one hymn that says, thousand, thousand praises be Lord of glory unto thee, thousand fowls. He says, that's 2,000. And then the hymn that he gave to Brother Gibbs, and it was the hymn he gave out, thou life of my life, blessed Jesus, thou death of the death that was mine, for me was thy cross and thine anguish, thy love and thy sorrow divine. Thou suffered the cross and the torment that I might go forever, forever go free. A thousand thanksgivings I bring, blessed Savior, to thee. He said, you know, a thousand, that's 2,000. He says, I'm Dutch. And I was visiting not so long ago with an old German couple, way up in age. And they were singing the untranslated German hymn. That hymn was written in German. And I noticed, he said, they did not sing a thousand, but they sang a thousand times a thousand. Now, he said, a thousand, not 2,000, a thousand times a thousand is a million. And then he said, it just thrilled my soul to realize that over 300 years ago, the saints in Germany were singing to the Lord Jesus, thanks a million. How much we have to thank God for.